Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This week, the Trump administration imposed new restrictions on Americans traveling to Cuba, banning cruise trips and some popular forms of group travel to try and once again starve Cuba of American tourist dollars. The word I haven't used yet that is at the center of all this is Venezuela. The U.S. says Cuba is helping to prop up the Maduro regime in Caracas. Joining us now to talk about that is Brian Fonseca, who is the director of the Institute for Public Policy at Florida International University in Miami. He's got a paper coming out on this very topic soon at the Wilson Center. Brian, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what the Trump administration has actually said here. They say that Cuba makes up the innermost circle of Venezuela's security apparatus. Here's the U.S. National Security Advisor, John Bolton, in an interview about this with Univision.
I think, honestly, if the 20 to 25,000 Cuban security forces that are in Venezuela today left tomorrow, Maduro would fall soon thereafter.
So is that true? Are there really 20 to 25,000 Cuban security forces in Venezuela today?
So, I mean, I highly doubt that. I did happen to participate in a study commissioned by Cynthia Arntzen at the Wilson Center that I co-authored with John Polga from the Naval Academy that really sort of dived into, you know, what do we know? And so our assessment at the end is that largely the numbers are exaggerated. I suspect that if you tried to lump all Cubans operating in Venezuela to include humanitarian professionals, teachers, others that may be working, you know, in sort of the social environment, you might be able to get to 20, 25,000. But it's highly unlikely that you have 20 to 25,000 pure security and intelligence professionals operating on the ground in Venezuela.
But are a lot of the people in the security apparatus in Venezuela Cuban?
Certainly the inner circle. So from our findings, and we conducted countless interviews with experts, both American, Venezuelan, Cuban, those that have served in the Venezuelan military and have firsthand knowledge of Cuban presence. And so, you know, in terms of the depth of their role, I think the National Security Advisor is correct in suggesting that they comprise the innermost circle of the Venezuelan leadership. After the 2002 attempt to unseat former President Hugo Chavez, he turned to Cuba to further sort of firewall his regime or coup-proof his government from internal and external pressures to unseat him. At that point, we started to see Cubans surrounding Chavez as part of his inner security and reporting a lot of that information back to, you know, to Chavez and subsequently Maduro.
So why would that help them? Why wouldn't they be able to coup-proof themselves by using Venezuelans?
Well, because part of the challenge is the fear of, sort of an interruption of power from within governing institutions, namely the military institution, right? And so, you know, as part of coup-proofing, things that you might do is create rivalries or factions between the branches, create deep distrust among military professionals to try to stop them from moving forward with big, orchestrated, you know, well-thought-out, well-oiled plans to
disrupt government. And it's easier to do that with people from the outside than from the inside, you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the penetration of security and intelligence professionals really begins to take after, again, the 2002 event that unseated Chavez briefly. I think at that point, you know, Chavez found that there were a lot within the military institution, within the economic elite, that wanted to see him removed from office. And he consulted heavily with Fidel Castro to ensure that, you know, preservation of the regime was at the top of the agenda. And I think Castro, to some degree, saw this also as an opportunity, to sort of mentor the future, someone that would maybe carry on that sort of socialist, 21st century socialist project.
So they agreed on the politics there, but there's also an economic aspect to this, which is that
absolutely
Venezuela is a huge oil producer, and they've been providing Cuba with oil, cheap oil, in exchange for Cuba sending people over to Venezuela.
Absolutely. This is not purely about ideological affinity, right? I mean, there is a pragmatic aspect to the relationship, and that pragmatism is centered in exactly what you say, sort of the exchange for services, not just military and intelligence services, but humanitarian, right? Sort of health, doctors,
right,
teachers, services in exchange for, oil.
And if you ask the Venezuelans or if you ask the Cubans, they may say right now, well, that's all we're sending. We're only sending over doctors and teachers.
Right. And again, sort of based on our findings, we conclude there's still an important presence there. And you sort of see it manifest. I think there was reporting about Maduro's trip to the UN earlier this year, being surrounded by Cuban security professionals. The U.S. Southern Command combatant commander Admiral Faller has gone, and testified before Congress and talked about that role that the Cubans play in terms of providing internal security, which is really important. Again, this is about firewalling sort of the regime, those at the top of government from the prospects of those that might attempt to unseat him or others within what I call kleptocracy, right?
So let's talk about Cuba for a second, because the situation in Cuba, it sounds like, is getting worse economically. There are reports of food shortages and rationing of basic goods like rice and soap. Is Cuba now at risk, for a number of reasons, of becoming the next Venezuela?
Yeah, I think you're right. To the degree, not sure, but certainly scholars are suggesting, sort of observers are suggesting, that Cuba may have entered its new special period. And what that means is that, similar to the 90s, a period in which Cuba is losing the economic support of external actors and not really generating enough, sort of domestic revenue to sustain, a healthy economy. So it is certainly struggling. And I think from data that we found, sort of economic data, we've seen a decline in what Venezuela has been able to provide to Cuba. And so certainly Cuba is in a very tough socioeconomic position. I think it's completely aware of that. But another angle to this, I think, is also fascinating, at least to think about, is the prospects that Cuba is also concerned about efforts from the United States to disrupt its political model. And maybe by keeping the United States engaged in Venezuela, at least in the interim, might give Cuba some space to continue to, to sort of survive. Certainly not thrive, but survive. So the U.S. policy seems to be focused on Venezuela, clearly, and we're hearing a lot in Venezuela because of the dire humanitarian crisis, and I think it certainly merits the attention that the United States is placing. But when you listen to sort of U.S. policymakers, it's sort of an expanded approach that is also inclusive of Nicaragua and Cuba. I think Venezuela and Cuba probably more so, but certainly I think if I recall, National Security Advisor Bolton in Miami sort of first launched the term, the Troika of Tyranny, right, when talking about sort of U.S. policy towards the hemisphere from Miami.
Do you see any scenario in which the U.S. is able to squeeze Cuba enough that Cuba helps to remove finally Maduro from power in Venezuela?
It's a great question. I know it's been batted around sort of what role could Cuba play in helping sort of dislodge Maduro and more than Maduro, right? Sort of those that are in that inner circle, Diosdado Cabello, Tariq, and others. A lot of questions about what role Cuba could play. More importantly, what role would Cuba play, knowing that, they are facing a very hostile U.S. administration right now, one that seems to be, historically speaking, more hardline, right? And almost sort of demanding, some type of change. And I think those at the helm of U.S. policy in this particular space, and it's hard to pick just one, but when you look at those that may be sitting in the NSC, Mauricio Claver, the role that Senator Marco Rubio is playing, these are those that have focused their respective professional careers on Cuba. And so I think there's certainly some concern. Not sure if the United States will be able to court Cuba or, sort of use a stick with Cuba to get them to back away from Maduro. But certainly I think that there is a wrinkle. You're starting to see wrinkles, at least in Maduro's role in Venezuela, and I think it's probably short-lived anyhow.
That is Brian Fonseca, who is director of the Institute for Public Policy at Florida International University. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.